Today is the first full day of fall, and to our resident chef, Kathy Guntz, that means it is time to think about winter squash. Hi, Kathy.
Hey, Jeremy.
So when I think of winter squash, I might think of something that like is a decoration on the mantelpiece. It doesn't necessarily have to be something that you eat.
You're thinking about a gourd, right? Like there are those shellac things.
Aren't they
with
the same?
No.
All right,
do not eat a shellacked gourd.
Well,
let's begin with that.
But what?
Safety
what about
warning.
The winter squash. You can eat
okay.
that.
Okay. First of all, they're a bit of a misnomer. They are harvested in the late summer, but what is so great about them, as opposed to summer squash, which is zucchini and those yellow squash, is that so-called winter squash, they are available and fresh in the autumn, but they take you straight through the winter because they have a very hard rind shell covering. Think of a pumpkin. Think of those gigantic blue Hubbard squash. There are so many fabulous types of winter squash.
And they're very nutritious, aren't
they? They are so good for you. The more I research this, I'm like, why don't I eat this every day? They are filled with antioxidants. They have, ready for this, vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin B6. We're talking fiber. We're talking anti-inflammatory. It's that yellow-orange flesh. There's also a whole lot of potassium. And one cup, cubed and cooked, 76 calories. So you can eat a whole lot of this. And let me take you through a few of the most common ones. There's the buttercup squash, which looks like a round, greenish kind of pumpkin. It's very sweet. It's got a really clean flavor, creamy orange flesh. And always when you're getting winter squash, you want to choose squash that feel really heavy because that lets you know that there's a whole lot of flesh in there. And buttercup squash are terrific for risottos. A lot of these squash, in fact, almost all of them are interchangeable. So if you see a recipe for buttercup, but you only have a butternut, those are the long, beigey ones, it's fine to mix and match. Then there's the acorn squash, which looks a bit like an acorn with a little bit of orange streaking. Really, really good pureed, really great to cut in half because it's kind of small and you can stuff it. I really love kabocha squash, which is a Japanese squash.
Love the name of that squash.
I know. It is the Japanese word for squash. And that has a really nutty, earthy flavor. Again, an orange flesh. It's a lot less fibrous. And a lot of people think that they taste more like sweet potatoes. Butternut squash, I love because they're so easy to peel. This is a big issue for a lot of people. Like you get, okay, have you ever seen one of those blue Hubbard squash? They're like literally 10 pounds. They look like a small infant.
Yeah.
You're like, no way. I'm not dealing with that. I think one of the reasons people don't cook this more often is that they're terrified of how to deal with it.
How to peel it.
So let me tell you.
Do you just use a potato peeler or do you have something else in
mind? No, you can. I like to use a wide vegetable peeler. And on the butternut squash, it's a breeze. It comes right off. And on some of the thinner skin winter squash, they also. But for a lot of them, you need a small sharp knife. You do not need a cleaver. You do not need a hacksaw.
See, that would scare me.
Yeah, of course it would. And it should. Who wants to be using that in their kitchen? The easiest thing to do is to cut it in half. And then start hacking away at the outside rind and just want to peel off your flesh, scoop out the seeds with a good kitchen spoon, and you're ready to work with it.
And where do you store it, by the way? Do you put it in the fridge or do you just put it up on the mantelpiece?
No, do not put it in the fridge. Ideally, what you're going to do is you're going to keep it in a cool, dark spot that's about 50 degrees. If it gets too warm, it deteriorates. If it gets too cold, the texture is completely thrown off. So, you know, kind of a pantry, basement type atmosphere, nothing too humid.
Not just on the coffee table next to the
bowl
of
M&Ms. They are pretty. You could put them next to your lacquered gourds that you're not going to eat.
But then what if you confuse the two?
They are a good centerpiece. I must say, all those oranges and beiges and browns and greens, they're very beautiful, but do eat them. Do cook them.
Okay, well, let's get to what you have done here. You have cooked a few things that are
indeed
in front of me right now, and they
smell
amazing.
Let's start over there. You have a risotto, which is an Italian rice dish, and I made that with a butternut squash. You can see those nice fat pieces, a bright, bright orange, and it is topped with a fried sage leaf.
Ooh.
But don't be scared by the thought of that. So you take a little bit of
you're
not scared.
Not scared
dive
by
in.
The thought of the sage
Some
leaf.
People might. It's a great garnish because there's sage in the risotto. It's an extremely simple one. It's just fresh butternut squash, a little bit of onion, sauteed for about 10 minutes. Then you throw in the rice and you add the broth. And You don't have to stir risotto 24/7. Most people think, you know, I have to quit my job to make risotto. In fact, you want to stir it. You want to stick around. But it doesn't need that kind of ridiculous care.
You know,
care.
If I were thinking about all the different things you could put in risotto, I would think squash is something that would be kind of boring to put in risotto. But this is absolutely not boring.
Isn't that nice?
It's
and,
really
and
good.
And notice
yeah.
it takes on a little bit of the orange color of the butternut squash. And then at the very end, you add some grated Parmesan cheese. So then I took sage leaves from the garden because sage lasts practically till Christmas. And I just put a little olive oil in a skillet and just kind of fried them up for a minute. You have a whole plate of them there. Mm. And if you eat them when they come right out of the skillet, you get this great, crunchy, herby, earthy flavor. Really simple risotto.
Okay, and what about this salad?
So salads, people don't think about using winter squash in a salad. So
no.
I roasted the squash into wedges, and I put a little bit of olive oil on them and a spice called za'atar. And if you didn't have that, you could use ground cumin. It's a Middle Eastern spice. It's a combination. Then right at the end, I put a little of my husband's maple syrup to glaze the winter squash. Yeah. So that's what you've got there with some beautiful fall arugula. Let me tell you about the dressing because I'm super excited about that. It's got yogurt and tahini and a little bit of that za'atar spice, and it really marries well with the sweet, sweet squash.
You know, and the maple syrup is really great.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
That's a very common combination around the holidays of like a pureed squash, any of the winter squash we've discussed that you steam and puree. And then I never add brown sugar or white sugar. I always add maple syrup and a little nutmeg or cardamom. And those are just really nice late fall spices.
And I love the texture of the squash. It's like an avocado almost, like a not very ripe avocado, but really with its own wonderful flavor.
Well, that's an interesting analogy because it's bright orange there, but it is creamy like an avocado. It is nutritious like an avocado. But these are so sweet. And that natural sweetness is something we need to take advantage of as we're trying to eat less processed food and processed sugar. I just love this salad. And I love the bite of the arugula against the sweetness. So those are just two examples.
But there's a third thing here, Kathy.
Oh, those are some other squash that I roasted with maple syrup, and I wanted you just to try it on its own there.
And these look like slices of tomato, sort of, but they're
orange. Wow, you are really going through the color palette here. They are orange indeed. But let me just tell you something. When you take a squash...
As long as it's not don't eat them, then I can still continue
dive
to do this. Okay,
in.
Yes, go ahead.
Go for it. So a butternut squash is like a woman with big hips. It's got this slender long top and then this wide bottom, right? That got a laugh. What you get when you cut the top off are beautiful rings. You know, you just cut them. There's no seeds there. But when you get to the hips, there's filled...
God, this analogy has gone way off the rails.
Okay, fine.
No, but continue, yes.
All right. So when you get to the bottom, you have to scoop out the seeds and then you get wedges. So you get these two very distinct slices out of one squash, which is another reason I really love butternuts.
And before we let you go, another sweet suggestion, Kathy, because people do want dessert in life.
Well, think of a pumpkin and the way that you might use it. A pumpkin pie could certainly be a buttercup pie.
Be a squash pie?
Oh, completely interchangeable. Anything that you would use pumpkin for, you can use a winter squash, whether it's, you know, a pumpkin pie, a pumpkin pudding, a custard. People make cookies using pumpkin flesh. Absolutely interchangeable with any of these winter squash.
There you go. Winter squash does serve a purpose other than just sitting on the mantle. No, that's not squash. Okay. Kathy Gunst, resident chef at Here and Now. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jeremy.
And of course, we have all of Kathy's recipes for winter squash, or the ones that she was willing to give us anyway, at our website, hereandnow.org. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Here and Now.